All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Try Eagle Fang Karate, the most bitchin' dojo in the
valley.
And the best part is we have a whole stable of hot young dudes like my man Miguel over here. You like what you see? He's not even in the top five. We have babes and everything, whatever floats your boat.
I'm asexual.
All right, he's asexual too. Check him out, total stud.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And I'm Damien.
This is House Podcastica, Cobra Kai edition, and that was Damien.
Oh, shoot!
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 4, Episode 5 and 6, Match Point, and Kicks Get Chicks.
And we're doing that with a special guest this week. It's our friend, Damien. Welcome to the podcast, Damien.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me join you guys. I hope I don't screw up the mojo at all, because you guys have been doing great coverage.
No way. Only add to it.
I mean, dude, you're the expert, because we actually came up with this idea because Damien, he's one of the Zed heads in the Patreon group, but also he hosts the Watched It in the 80s podcast, and he's been talking about all kinds of 80s movies over the weeks on that podcast. And Richard and Damien and I actually did a Zedhead show, which is my Patreon exclusive podcast, with our top five 80s movies, maybe yeah. Like a year ago now. It's been a while, 6 months ago, something. So just steeped in the 80s. So Damien, I'd love to hear like your history with Karate Kid and Cobra Kai.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, Karate Kid, of course, I saw when I was young back in the 80s. It was just one of those movies that, you know, stuck with me, kind of like you, Jason, and Rima and Richard. So, and when I heard Cobra Kai was coming out, I just wanted to dive into it, you know, as soon as I could, and see what they would do with the rest of the story of Daniel and Johnny, especially Johnny, because of course we got Daniel in a couple other movies. But I've really enjoyed it so far. It's been a great series, and I'm just happy to be here to talk to you guys about it.
Were you surprised at all with how it turned out?
The series.
Like, do you remember what you expected? Yeah, yeah.
You know, from the series, you mean? What I've expected from the series? You know, I didn't go into the series with any expectations, really. I mean, it was just so much more of Johnny's side, which I appreciated, because we didn't get him, you know, since the end of Karate Kid. So I really enjoyed catching up with Johnny and seeing what was going on. And then, of course, seeing where Daniel went. And then, of course, you have all their children involved and everything. So it's just been a great ride. I've enjoyed the first three seasons, and I'm enjoying this season, too.
I kind of did that too, awesome. But then Jason saw it before me, so he was like, "You gotta watch Cobra Kai, dude! It's freaking awesome!" I'm like, "Okay, whatever, yeah." Because he was a much bigger fan at the time than I was of Karate Kid.
Come on, I've never steered you wrong yet.
Yeah, no. Since I was just like, "Holy crap, that really was good." Probably helps to not go in with too much expectation, you know.
Actually, I could see where you might not trust my opinion, given that you knew that Karate Kid was my favorite movie for decades. So you might just be like, yeah, you just love Karate Kid.
Yeah. Well, on not just that, you know, but you're a TV guy and a movie guy. So I was like, yeah, he's probably right. So let's check it out.
All right, cool. Let's get into this week's episodes. It's Cobra Kai Season 4, Episodes 5 and 6, Match Point and Kicks Get Chicks. Just in general, what did you think of these two, Damien?
I liked them. They were two of the shortest episodes of the season, I believe. Actually, I think Episode 5 was the shortest, but there was a lot packed into them. I mean, we're crossed over the halfway point now. So I think both episodes kind of set us up for what's going on the rest of the season. I mean, you know, we'll get into specifics, but, you know, the Miyagi-Do dojo split up. And, you know, who knows what's going on with Cobra Kai with Terry Silver.
That partnership didn't last that long with Johnny and Daniel.
No, I wish it did. But but overall, I really liked them. There was just so much packed in two of the shorter episodes. I really enjoyed them.
Oh, and you decide because you knew you were going to be on. Mm-hmm. You didn't watch past this, is that right?
Correct. I have no idea what is happening. Ooh. Yeah, no, oh, nice. I stuck with you.
Good
guys.
Good restraint.
Oh yeah, I stuck with you guys. Well, it was easy because I started a little late. Like you guys had already started covering them, so I was able to binge 1 through 6. So 6, although 6 ended really intriguingly, I was able to hold some restraint. But I'll probably watch them when we're done here.
Right.
That's it's what we hard. Usually do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, yeah. Especially when the algorithm for all of the Google and the Facebook and everything starts catching on that you're watching it and they're like, oh yeah, wait till season five. You
Facebook
see all these titles
sucks.
Season 5. It's like, no,
Facebook sucks, yes. Man. I'm like scrolling through Facebook and I see these pictures of scenes I haven't seen yet, and I'm like, no, no, no. Get past it.
You'll never believe what LaRusso said.
Yeah, right. Like, I know.
Shut up.
It sucks.
Can't believe Daniel died. God darn it. All right. Rima, what about you?
Oh, I really liked him. Like Damien said, a lot of great action in a couple of, you know, short episodes. Funny lines as usual. I mean, typical Johnny just, you know, cracking me up with, you know, how he just seems to be stuck in 1985. Like he woke up from a coma and just, you know, woke up in today's time. Just kills me. So no shortage of laughs.
And hasn't aged either. Like he's still teenage brain.
I know. Yeah. It's hilarious. So yeah, a lot of great lines, a lot of great buildup because like you said, Damien, you know, we're here at this halfway mark now and, you know, now we really got to get things rolling and I'm really anxious to see, you know, how it plays out over the next couple. Yeah, some great setup.
Yeah, it's totally cool to see some familiar faces, too. You know, you had some cameos from Moon, Aisha, and Yasmin, and Louie and Anoush. Cool. But then, you know, we lost Kenny and Anthony and Carmen. We haven't seen them. So it's like, I mean, you're right, Damien. You know, it's like, I guess you can only cram so many characters into just 25 minutes or so. But they do a really good job, you know. It's like you haven't forgot about them. They're just kind of on the back burner. Right. I'm sure they'll be coming back. Can't wait.
I know they. I've said it before, but they do such a great job of juggling all these characters. I mean, yes, this was sort of the transition point and a setup for the, you know, build to the last part of the season and everything. But also, it had the freaking rematch between Johnny and Daniel. That's a big deal. Yep.
Huge.
I don't know why I never thought about that for this show, like a tournament style. But I'm like, oh my god, they're actually going to do it, and they bring it up, and then actually do it in the same episode. The show is like candy. So yeah. I loved both. I loved it. I loved that part for this, you know, the first episode, and then Johnny's take on feminism for the second part. That's pretty hilarious.
Yes.
So I'm gonna not do my own like 3 points. I'm just going to do the callbacks and references since we have 4 of us, although there's a hell of a lot for just these short episodes. So I don't want to talk about, but anyways, right. I'm going to hand it over to you guys. So, Damien, what do you got for your first point?
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump right into it. I think you guys have been talking about him the last couple of weeks, but I mean, Terry Silver. So I'm wondering, who is he? Is he still an evil con man? I mean, we start off with episode 5. He just meets up with Daniel right away, the first time in 35 years, the scene we've all been waiting for, you know. And, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, like, what kind of character he is, because is he still into revenge? You know, it seems like he is, because he wants to finish what they started 35 years ago. But then he tells Kreese they have to put the past behind him. So I guess I'm a little just confused on. I mean, I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like the Terry Silver they brought back to us, but I just have no idea what he is this season. He seems to be evolving each episode. He wants to show no mercy and fight back against Miyagi-Do. I'm sorry. Excuse me. He wants to fight back against Miyagi-Do, but then he says no fighting before the tournament. So, in fact, he even says when he's in the dojo after Kreese, he's in the dojo after a meeting with Daniel, you know, and him and Kreese are staying there. He says, no need to waste a punch if it's not going to score a point. So, you know, that's not really the Terry Silver that we remember from Karate Kid 3. So it seems like he wants Cobra Kai to be the best and biggest dojo in the Valley, which, you know, that's what he wanted to do in the 80s, but that's when he was hopped up on coke and revenge. So I'm really just not sure what is, you know, it seems like he wants to do it like the right way. So I don't know. I really like the Terry Silver we're getting. It's just a little confusing. And like I said,
I agree,
you guys have been touching on it the last couple of weeks. Like, who do we have here? It's definitely the different, you know, Terry Silver. I think it makes Cobra Kai a little bit more dangerous, actually, because it's a level headedness that we've never seen before. They've been all hopped up on revenge, well, and coke. If you go to that third movie, but it's a little more dangerous than before. So, I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I'm in the same spot.
Couple episodes with him.
Absolutely, his character is polarizing, man. It's like totally mm-hmm. changed the show. I'm in the same boat. I'm a little skeptical. I mean, what at the beginning of episode 5 when he confronts Daniel and Johnny, was that really an attempt to bury the hatchet? You know, I kept thinking to myself, or has he got some sort of ulterior motive or plan to, like, you know, break up the team or psychologically abuse Daniel again? It's just like, what's this guy's deal? He seemed pretty angry too that Daniel refused to talk, calling him what'd he say? He said
arrogant
he was like
prick.
Yeah, he called him
an arrogant little prick.
Yeah.
So that was the confusing part.
Like, dang.
Because I didn't know if he was legit.
That lit a fire under him.
I didn't know if he was legit when he was talking to Daniel, because, you know, the Terry that we met in episode 1, he wanted to put the past behind him, and, you know, he got therapy and he tried to move beyond it. He thought that was all ridiculous, you know, so I didn't know if he was really apologizing to Daniel or not. But then when he called him an arrogant prick, I'm like, okay, so he saw some revenge in him. But it seems like
he's also sticking to the no fighting rule, like you said, before the tournament, mm-hmm. telling the students to funnel any anger into their training. Mm-hmm. But then in the next episode, what was it, 6? He seemed pretty legit. Wanting the Cobra Kai to take over the Valley. That's what I think it's he wants to turn it into a business. He sees a business opportunity here. And in that respect, I think he's trying to move the kids away from fighting on the streets, saving it for the tournament so they can leave, and then he'll take over the Valley.
Right, because he's having the dinner with Kreese, you know, because Kreese wants to talk to him, because obviously they're butting heads. He actually says, like, we have to focus on our students. So that makes it kind of a little bit hard not to like him as a sensei. I mean, I know they're definitely the antagonists, you know, this version of Cobra Kai we're getting with him and Kreese there. But, I mean, it's, you know, they're putting their students first. So, like I said, I think it's a different Cobra Kai than we've seen so far. So, it's kind of intriguing. I like the Kreese we're getting. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my first point anyway, Kreese and what to make of him, because I have no idea.
He's investing in the dojo too. He's buying a bunch of good gear and equipment, doing the billboard thing, doing all the advertising, and recruiting a lot of students.
I mean, I think the show is doing the same thing with him that it's done with. I mean, I would have said all this stuff about Johnny at first. I don't trust that kid.
Yeah,
he's a dick. But, you know, they're humanizing him. And it was exactly the thing I was saying. I hope they didn't do with Terry, because I wanted to see the crazy Terry. But I'm digging his character a lot. And, yeah, there's definitely an ominousness and a power, like the way he looked at the convenience store guy when he said, you need to buy something. And he just turned and looked at him. He's all, never mind. Mm-hmm. It's fine. He's got this
still a presence about
presence.
Him.
Yeah. But he's being smart. I mean, he's a really successful businessman, and he's telling Kreese, don't get caught up in the drama. Focus. All we have to do is win this tournament, and you're going to put these guys out of business. So don't be reactive and get caught up in all this BS that's just tripped all you idiots up this whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, basically is what he's saying.
He's smart.
Yeah. And just since we're talking about him, Dimitri is reading an article about him right after, you know, he confronts Daniel, and Daniel is mad at him in the, at Miyagi-Do, and all the students are looking out, so they want to find out who he is. So we see him at school with an article on his iPad or something, and he's, I forget, he's talking to Hawk, I think, and he mentions, oh, there's not much dirt on him other than some toxic waste scandal in Borneo in the 80s. Well, in Karate Kid 3, yeah. It seemed like it was all toxic waste, but that's all he did. But I blew up this article, and it was blurry, but I found the frame where you could actually read it. So it says, noted philanthropist Terrence Silver, winter 2018. Vietnam veteran and successful business mogul Terrence Silver's insight on the importance of corporate philanthropy and how mission-driven works have transformed his career. Terrence Silver could easily be named the hero of our generation. He dominates the business world and prioritizes charity over personal gain. He is selfless and caring. But if you dig a little deeper, you'll learn that he's had his fair share of ups and downs. At the young age of 18, he fought for his country in the Vietnam War. As one could assume, his post-war life was full of difficulties and painful hardships that led him down the wrong path. Despite his tumultuous past, Silver managed to reinvent himself and established a multi-million dollar company. Corporate responsibility and giving back to the community have driven his business, creating an equitable and ethically sustainable business model. His impact and selflessness continuously inspires his colleagues and everyone around him as he continues to make the world a better place. And he's easy on the eyes. Look at those baby blues, which I did not make up. It really says that. I think the writers are like, I wonder if anybody will read this. Let's stick that in there and see. But I mean, I think my sense is he really did try to change. And when he's talking about let's accomplish what we set out to accomplish, he's talking about the things that we saw young Terry and Kreese talking about in previous episodes, which is let's teach these kids some discipline, not let's get back at our enemies. You know, he's even said a couple times, Cobra Kai didn't start about being revenge. It's about teaching discipline. So I really think that's where his head is. I'm curious if somebody will give him some coke and he'll flip out. But at least for now, I feel like he's being straightforward. You know, he has good intentions in mind, and he doesn't like Daniel, so he wouldn't mind putting him out of business. Uh-huh. That's my take.
But why doesn't he like Daniel? He's the one that tortured him in the first place.
I know. I mean, he said, I'm really sorry. And when he showed up in the backyard of Miyagi-Do, it's hard for us to trust him, too, if you've seen Karate Kid 3, because that's exactly where he showed up a couple times in Karate Kid 3, and he was being the same way, all acting humble and nice and pretending to care. And that's where he was able to manipulate Daniel into becoming a student and then started torturing him. So I think when Daniel sees him show up and act having that same sort of air of humility and saying he apologizing, it's like, fuck you, dude. You're not going to get me again. But I feel like this time he's at least partly really trying to just smooth things over so they can keep it legit and just have the argument settled at the tournament, you know?
Yeah, I'm leaning that way too, but he's a crazy dude.
You're right. It could all be a total ruse. He could have us all fooled, or me anyway, you know?
Let's not forget that wine bottle in the wine cellar.
If it is like that, if he has me fooled, I'll say, oh, that's amazing. Good on you guys, you know, if he's just one.
It could be
somebody.
Too, that Daniel's just a hothead, like he keeps pointing out, and maybe he just keeps rubbing him the wrong way.
No, Daniel, I mean, the way we saw in Karate Kid 3, Daniel was definitely a hothead. I will definitely admit that. But Terry Silver was not a nice guy.
No.
You know, he's like, I'm going to make him hurt. Before he even ever met Daniel, he was saying that.
That's right.
Okay, how about you, Rima?
Well, that was my number three, too. It was more, though, the confrontation, because, you know, we were all talking about it last week, like, oh my gosh, can't wait to go watch the next episode and see how this ends up, because episode 4 left us, you know, where Terry and Kreese were just walking up, you know, there at the Miyagi-Do dojo there, and was like, oh my god, wonder what happens. So we get to that, and I was a little bit disappointed. I don't really know what I expected exactly, but it was slightly anticlimactic. I was like, oh, okay. But I do think there was, I had the same questions as you guys. I wasn't sure if Terry Silver was authentic with his apology. And I don't blame Daniel for not trusting him. I'm sure Daniel still has like maybe a little PTSD from his last encounter with him. So, I mean, he had his apologies sounded sincere, but then he told Kreese, you know, we've got to get to work so we can wipe the mat, you know, with that arrogant little prick. So I don't know. I'm not sure where he's at either. I feel like there's, you know, I understand, you know, that he's saying he was all coked out in Karate Kid 3 and that was, you know, led to his behavior. But I don't know. I feel like that, like, substances like alcohol or drugs can kind of bring out what is there under the surface sometimes. Like, sometimes there's an element of that real person there and that just kind of heightens it or brings it out. Whereas, you know, it might not be, you know, in your day-to-day life always present, or maybe you keep it suppressed. So I don't think he's totally crazy like he was in Karate Kid 3 because he was under the influence. But I do think there's a little bit of a menacing
that killer
side
instinct
to him, just
yeah.
a little bit. I mean, I don't know how yeah. dangerous he is. Oh, I don't yeah. think he's as dangerous.
Kicked Robbie in the stomach, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, that look to the convenience store clerk, how he was sparring mm. with Robbie. I mean, he was pretty rough. I mean, I get that you've got to, you know, it's martial arts. You toughen kids up a little bit. You got to make them understand what it really is like and what they can expect. You have to be able to take a hit. But that was pretty damn rough. He's an instructor. And, you know, there's a line there. So I don't know. I feel like there's just a little bit of menacing quality to him. But I think that Thomas Ian Griffith, though, is, I think for someone who hasn't acted in so long, he's really doing a great job. He's really yeah, out acting some of those guys. I think he's fantastic.
He's a way better actor than he was back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think they all are a little bit.
Yeah, I do enjoy seeing him on the screen, yeah. and I love not quite having him figured out yet. You know, like, I'm not mm-hmm. quite sure. So I love that. I'm enjoying the shit out of having him back on the show, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, me too.
Yeah.
Same, yeah. Mine was Terry Silver also.
It would be genius if he was just completely faking all of this. And I fell for it. And then he turned around like in the finale, was like, all right, now it's time to kill or something like that. And I'm like, wow, you got me just like you got Daniel in Karate Kid 3.
Yeah.
Like, cause
I'm still
Kreese
skeptical though. I wouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah. Right. I'm not there, but I kind of want to be fooled now. But Kreese kind of was that way when he came into the show. He was like kind of a broken down old man, remember? And he was trying to be yeah. friends with Johnny, and then he just turned into his old self eventually, just total a-hole.
Right. Yeah, now we're starting to see that dynamic between Kreese and Silver too. Silver's like trying to be legit, yeah. you know, quote unquote legit, turn it into a business and such, and spread Cobra Kai throughout the valley, whereas Kreese is still like he's still holding on to that, we got to be strike first, we got to be tough, show no mercy, you know. And it's yeah. like, yeah, but you're only showing that to this handful of kids. When, you know, listen to Silver, you can show it to right. the whole world. He gets set off by everything that Daniel and Johnny do.
A lot of people on this show are easily triggered, which I guess is good for a show where you need fights to break out.
Gotta have the drama. Yep.
Yeah, you wouldn't have much
so
if they weren't.
Yours was Terry, too. Do you have anything more to say about that, or do you want to do a different
No, we got it, man. That was good.
Okay. Damien.
Back to me already. All right. So my next point, I guess it's the whole Tori, Amanda, and Sam triangle. You know, Sam had her taste of Eagle Fang Karate, and she seems to really enjoy it. You know, she's rebelling a little bit against Miyagi-Do. You know, they're teaching about avoiding fights. You know, she had that conversation with Daniel in the kitchen of their house. You know, and she made the little comment about Miyagi-Do avoiding fights, and that seemed to irk Daniel a little bit. So it seems like Johnny has definitely had his share of influence on her just from that one rooftop incident last week. Mm-hmm. You know, she even learned the bottle cap flip too, which was impressive. But so we have her kind of changing, mm-hmm. and then we got, you know, Tori seems like she wants to change a little bit too, I guess for her, you know, her family situation. So she accepts Amanda's offer for help And then we find out a little bit, was that episode 6, I think? We found out a little bit about Amanda's past and how she kind of empathizes with Tori a little bit. So it's just this whole triangle where it seems like, you know, Sam's starting to lean on the more, I guess you want to say, Cobra Kai or Eagle Fang side a little bit, but, and you have Tori who aggressive. I think she aggressive. Yeah. And I think Tori, you know, Tori's obviously, you know, not going anywhere as far as dojo's confirmed, but, hers is more personal. So she is taking Amanda up, on her offer, which I think we, you know, we kind of saw that coming a few episodes ago when Amanda started reaching out to her. So I'm just curious on where this whole triangle is going to go, between, Sam and Tori and her mom. You know, is Sam going to be jumping over to Cobra Kai at some point for next year? Or, you know, if Cobra Kai goes under the tournament, who knows, and Johnny takes back over, you know, it's just, or if the showrunners are just going to stop bouncing people back and forth between dojos, I don't know. But, and then I guess my other point is too about Tori, that we meet her evil aunt, Candace, and apparently Tori's mom is more sick than we thought. I guess I couldn't really remember from previous seasons how sick she was. I'm pretty sure she has cancer, but I didn't know. I couldn't remember if it was terminal or not, but apparently it is pretty terminal. So, there was once another reference to Tori's father, and Candace said she was a hothead just like him. So I'm kind of wondering if this is going to be the introduction to somebody else, that we've been waiting for, maybe like a Mike Barnes or something like that. I don't know if that's going to be too soap opera like or anything, but there was a reference to Tori's dad a few episodes ago. And then I think in episode 5 or something, Amanda asked Daniel if there were any other Cobra Kais in his past. And he was like, no, well, maybe. Yeah. So I don't know if all these are little clues, like entrance, to, you know, an entrance There's to Mike Barnes season. Or not. It's starting to get a little like far fetched, but I mean, who knows? I don't know, but it just seems like all these little clues are getting dropped that maybe Tori's dad is somebody that may show up, you know, for the end of season 4 or the end of, or beginning of season 5 or something.
What if it's Miyagi?
well, I don't know. I was thinking Miyagi. Dutch, but I think Dutch is in jail, so I don't think, you know.
I want to see Dutch.
I would love to as well.
Yeah. Dutch.
Yeah. I don't think this is him, but I was just curious. But just that whole storyline, I mean, you know, Amanda trying to help her out, so Sam is like, she was already feeling alienated from her parents. And then you just have the whole, you know, the karate teachings. She's starting to see a little bit of other teachings outside of Miyagi-Do. So, you know, I don't know. I think this is a whole new storyline that's being introduced that could go into next season. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Last week I said Sam's going to ruin everything. I'm sticking to it.
It's not looking great. I feel like something is going to come to a conclusion with Sam in not such a great way, that's for sure. But I think it's interesting they you know, kind of alluding to, you know, to some other, you know, characters from Karate Kid or any of the movies from the franchise, you know, when Amanda was talking about, you know, any others coming back from Daniel's past, and then, you know, kind of alluding to Tori's father. And, you know, her aunt said, you know, oh, you know, losing your temper or can't keep your temper, you know, like your father, you know, kind of alluding to that. And, you know, remember Mike Barnes was quite a hothead too. Uh-huh. I don't know that that's true or not. I mean, it's, I guess anything is possible in this world, but, you know, he was certainly a very angry person in Karate Kid 3.
Yeah. I could be digging, so like most fans could be digging for, hey, can we bring this person back? Can we bring that person back?
So, any excuse to bring,
yeah.
bring
he'll be back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The showrunners love everything about Karate Kid. So I think the only way Mike Barnes won't come back is if the actor doesn't want to, but I imagine he would totally want to.
Either scheduling or if he didn't want to. Yeah.
He'll be back. Don't worry. I got next season filmed. I bet he's the big bad of next season.
Maybe.
Tori's dad is Barnes and Miguel's dad is Terry Silver.
They planned it out the whole time.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan.
Yep.
Yeah, last week I said that Sam was going to destroy Miyagi Do, you know, but alas, I don't think that actually happened. I think it was just Daniel's. Daniel and Johnny's, you know, core beliefs and how their karate should be is what actually ended up tearing them apart. And Sam was kind of a focal point because, you know, Daniel was like, is that what you want my daughter to do? You know, but she wasn't actually the cause, I don't think.
I mean, Miguel was more, I mean, and Johnny's bruised ego was more the cause because he saw Daniel taking Miguel under his wing and got jealous. And that's when he got all like, and then also Daniel wanting to change everything to be just Miyagi-Do when he saw Terry Silver. Right. Those two things kind of clashed together and they
be like both retreated, you know. He was like, we got to go back to what Miyagi taught me because it worked. And then Johnny's still like, no, we got to strike first.
You think you're always
right. You strike first, you're gonna strike firster. What are you gonna do?
Love it.
Yeah, that was good. There's a lot of good confrontations in this episode, in these two episodes.
Samantha being, she's kind of the bad guy right now, you know, and she's always angry. So I think she's been told that you're the bad guy this season. And I feel like the same thing happened with Miguel at the end of, I think it was at the end of season one. He was turning into a little a-hole too. And I think they all kind of have to take their turns because it's a show about conflict. And so you need the bad guys and the good guys.
Right. Yeah,
but I bet you Samantha will chill out at some point.
You reminded me, Damien, when Amanda says to Daniel, is there anyone else that's gonna pop up and destroy our lives? And he's like, no, well, I can't say for sure. And I yelled at the TV, yeah, it's your own daughter, Sam, wake up.
Yeah, right.
It's gonna be their fault. They're the one that keeps ignoring her.
Well, let's not forget their son,
too.
Yeah,
I was just thinking.
We haven't seen him in the last couple of episodes. Yeah.
He's on the back burner, isn't he?
Yep. Again, that's why he's causing problems. Again, getting in with the wrong crowd.
Yeah. Thought he was going to have a story. Nope. Ignored again.
He's only graduated to Whopper Juniors. Not quite his own plot line, huh?
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Anything else on that one, Damien?
No, I think that was, okay. I think that was good. I think we could move on to next person.
All right. Who's next? Rima?
Yeah. Well, this was actually my number one, but I'll switch it to my number two since it kind of goes in line with what Damien was talking about, and that's breaking patterns. There is a theme of breaking patterns in this show. I liked when we learned about Amanda's story. When she got in trouble and she was arrested when she was around Tori's age, I like her even more now. Knowing that she hasn't come from such a perfect background and upbringing. Mm-hmm. And
she needed some rough edges like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, she was just too good, you know, but it was good to see, you know, that she had a rough background as well. She comes from a broken home and had some troubles of her own. She'd been arrested, wasn't able to walk in her graduation. I'm sure that was devastating and something she's regretful about. But it makes you now a little bit more, or for me anyway, understand more of why she is reaching out to Tori. You know, and it's not just about, oh, just wanting to help her. She sees, I think, a little bit of herself, you know, in Tori and realizing that Tori, you know, maybe doesn't have the support system or maybe advantages or whatever it was that maybe Amanda had at her age that maybe, you know, because she mentioned to Daniel, she's like, well, I was lucky that it didn't ruin my life. And she wants to, you know, kind of break that pattern for Tori to kind of help get her back on track because, you know, I know she's got her mom, but if her mom is really sick and she can't quite be there for her, she doesn't have her father in her life. Her aunt seems like a lousy piece of shit that doesn't care about her. So, you know, I think it's, you know, I like that Amanda is trying to step up and help her out. But so, you know, I like that. I like that we got a little bit of that backstory. So it makes me like Amanda a little bit more. And then we got Aisha back. I think we were just talking about her like a couple of episodes ago, like, oh, are we going to get her back? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably will. And we did. So that was really cool. And I liked how she talked to Sam about her experience. You know, we know that she moved. She's in Santa Barbara now. The whole thing with the fight at school, and her parents didn't want her to be involved in karate anymore. And she talked about her experience at her new school and, you know, kind of having the same feeling again of, you know, a particular girl that was, you know, she felt like, yeah, I can tell how this is going to go. And taking charge. And what she said, striking first and taking those lessons that Sensei Lawrence taught her, you know, and she reached out and actually became really good friends with this girl who most likely would have been another girl like Yasmin was, that bullied Aisha. So we see Aisha there breaking the pattern, you know, of her previous experiences, and she took something new, and learned and grew from that. So I like that. I like kind of seeing.
And that was really cool, too, because Aisha said she was using the principles of Cobra Kai, mm-hmm. you know, strike first. I mean, it was like a Care Bear version of striking.
Yeah.
Strike with friendship. But still, it sort of made me question. Okay, I where Daniel says, hey, Miyagi-Do's better and Cobra Kai's trash, basically that little thing of showing that, hey, this kid got something good out of Cobra Kai that helped her in her life, just helped bring things back into balance where not everyone's right and not everyone's fully wrong, you know?
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that she took, that she told Sam what she did. And, you know, to gave her advice to confront her problems head on. And then Sam took it like to the next level.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I reached out in friendship. And then Sam's like, you know, going to her bully and like, you know, I'm coming right. for you, you know.
Yeah, she did it. She went and confronted her problem head on.
She did.
But maybe not in such a caring
not
way.
Not in the exact same way at all. Definitely different situations. And Sam just definitely took it to a whole different extreme. And I know I'm having a problem with Sam's attitude too, but you know, she's still coming, and I'm not, again, I don't want to excuse anyone's behavior, and I don't mean that, but I think she's still experiencing some PTSD from everything that happened, and you know, I think that's where that anger is coming from. She's just still trying to deal with everything that happened.
She thought she could
have
died.
Yeah, right. She was terrified. Yeah.
Well, Tori seemed like she was trying to kill her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And now her parents
coming
are taking
for you, bitch.
Side. Right. That would piss me off,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I feel like her
it's
parents
like freaking
don't have her
Freddy
back.
Freddy Krueger, I'm coming for you.
That was good.
Don't fall asleep.
Oh, that was great. But that was my point. Just, you know, kind of like how they're making a change and breaking some of those patterns. I like that. Learn and grow.
Right on.
Absolutely.
Rich.
Well, as much as Terry Silver was polarizing, is such a polarizing character, it was Johnny that made these two episodes for me, man.
Johnny.
He was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my favorites came from him, but one that made me laugh probably the most was his Twitter rant.
Yeah.
In the hallway, the kids are talking about it, right? It starts out with, Sensei got drunk on and went on a Twitter rant. And I think it was... Dimitri has said, I believe everything except for the part where he knows how to tweet.
Yes.
Immediately, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And then I froze the screen. I don't know if we all did that, but I froze the screen yep. to see what the tweets were. And it was, it's on. Lawrence LaRusso rematch. Hash brown, dead meat. It's time for the Valley to see what karate's all about. Then he writes, tomorrow's night is Eagles reign supreme. And then the next two lines were like, how does this thing work? And then the last one was, hello? Question mark.
Those are his very first tweets from like a month ago or something. Hello? How does this thing work?
That was funny.
And his name is like, Sensei Johnny Law.
Yeah.
And his little tag says, badass sensei of a badass dojo, Eagle Fang, bite first. And he only has one follower, and it's Miguel.
Right, Miguel. Who does he think he's even tweeting to? You're his only follower.
And he's following 12 people. I'm sure it's like, you know, Iron Eagle, the
probably
movie.
Probably Hot Blondes.
Right.
And, yeah.
And the date on all those tweets was December 2018. I wonder if they really did send him back in those. That's too long ago, huh?
You know, I checked that handle, Sensei Johnny Law, and someone got it in April of last year, but hasn't tweeted. I imagine it was someone for the show that got it just so no one else would get it. But I would hope the marketing team would get on there and tweet out some stuff. You know, that'd be cool.
That'd be hilarious.
But maybe they don't even have it. I don't know.
Gosh. Yeah. And then Hawk, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat today. And then Hawk closes out the scene with, "So this is real? Sensei and Sensei are going to throw down? That's awesome!" Which is probably what everybody in the audience, myself included, was thinking, right?
Yes.
Yep. Right. Yep. Raise my hand.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. I think it's your turn again, Damien.
Yeah, my last one, and I think Rima touched on it a little bit. It was Aisha's return. And I have also in Fake Out as well, because I thought we were getting her back. you know, the beginning of episode six, they started out, you know, there was that funny board meeting. But they showed the footage of the first tournament and Aisha was getting, you know, kicked by, I can't remember that guy's name. But anyway, they, you know, she was getting kicked by him in the tournament. And so they showed that. And then Johnny and Miguel, you know, we had the information, which I don't know if anyone's going to get into, but, you know, we had the tournament new setup where, you know, they ended up splitting boys and girls division. So Johnny and Miguel for Eagle Fang, they were struggling to find a girl. So I kept thinking, like, oh, maybe Aisha's going to come back. Aisha's going to come back. And then they had Sam go and visit Aisha. Yeah. So I thought, here it is. You know, as soon as she opens the door, I was like, she's coming back. But then the more when she was talking and she was talking about how her parents wanted to get away from all the karate drama and everything, I was a little disappointed. But because it sounded like she wasn't going to return to the show. And then right away, the next scene was Johnny and Bert and Miguel. They were sitting at the debate and they found their next Eagle Fang, their next Eagle Fang member. So, yeah, it was just that little bit. It was good to see Aisha again. I really like that character. I don't know if he'll even, you know, consider bringing her back for future seasons. I have no idea, but it was just really
maybe
good.
That's
to
why they had that
again.
Scene with her, because they knew that we would all wonder if she was going to be come back, because they were talking about having a new girl. So just to kind of put her
I
out there,
it
like,
was a fake out.
No, we still she's in Santa Barbara.
She's you know, here.
She's doing fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
she was the smartest one that moved away from the drama and now is doing better.
I mean, I fell for it. Was interesting too that Sam. It seemed Sam was a little surprised that, you know, that she moved away. You know, didn't she say like, oh, you didn't move away because of the karate drama? And she was like, oh yeah, I did move away from it. So that was a little surprising too, that it's like Sam and her didn't actually talk, because I thought they were besties. But, you know,
yeah,
whatever. I think they got rid of the, didn't you guys say they got rid of the actress? It was pretty sudden that they decided not to bring the actress back, right? It was between
they
the
said
off-season.
They were, yeah, I think they said it was just a story reason. Mm-hmm. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. And that they might bring her back.
Yeah. Well, that was nice that they did. No, that was just mine. Of course, she gave, you know, Sam, I think, totally awesome advice, and Sam just took it, like you guys said, to a whole different level. You know, she told her to set her own, strike first, attack your problems head on, set your own terms, and I actually thought Sam was going to, I don't know what I thought. I guess I thought Sam was going to, I don't want to say welcome Tori with open arms, but be a little bit more civil than she was.
Extended olive branch.
Yeah, be a little bit more civil than she was, because it seemed like Tori was extending the olive branch, like you said. But Sam just, in the Cobra Kai way, Sam just took it to the next level. So, of course they were going to do that.
This is a soap opera.
Yeah, of course they were going to do that.
Yeah,
so.
Gotta have the tension.
Gotta have it. Yeah, yep. Right. But, no, I mean, I guess, you know, that was just my last thing. You guys had already touched on that a little bit. It was funny when they were sitting, though, at the debate. Johnny, Miguel, and Bert, they were sitting there, and Johnny gave the ladybugs reference about Dren.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe, he wants to dress
maybe can put
penis
breath
up like a girl.
And Miguel, gosh, that actor, and I can't think of his
thinking
name.
Outside
who,
the box.
Yeah, whoever plays Miguel. I can't think of the actor's name. But when Johnny's like, what do you think? And he's like, I'm thinking of so many things right now. It's like, he must just think Johnny's totally fucking
that
crazy.
That wasn't
it was, no, it was good. No.
I never saw that movie. I guess it was a Rodney Dangerfield.
It was Rodney Dangerfield, which is funny that he said there was this guy who got no respect. Because that was Rodney Dangerfield's whole line. Okay. Now you got no respect. But that was just it. You know, you guys kind of touched on it a little bit, but I was really happy to see her back. I hope we get more of her maybe next season. I don't know how it's going to work out with the actress or storyline, but Yeah. That was good to see her again. Good. Yeah, she was great. I was sad to see her go. But it was a good fake out. Mm-hmm. I fell for it. So I'm looking forward to see the new Eagle Fang member, that girl from the debate team.
Yeah.
She's pretty badass.
So that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Tearing that other guy's brook up.
Yeah, right.
She's sassy.
Yeah.
Okay, Rima.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Daniel and Johnny fight and just those two in general. So good. I think we've had a couple of different fights. I don't have them all listed by any means, but it was really cool to see them, you know, butting heads and deciding that, you know, we're going to, you know, go back to the tournament and fight tournament style. And first to three would win. And it was fun to watch Johnny and his whole training montage. I'm like, oh, yeah. You're not really supposed to train the day before day of, you know, fighting, yeah. But whatever. it's not productive. It's not great, but whatever. It's Johnny. And then the song, talk about a throwback, Burning Heart from Survivor.
Yeah.
What a great song because Rocky it's Four. From Rocky Four.
Yep.
Right.
One of my favorite Rockies ever. So yeah, that was great. It was like, oh, it's like the Rocky training montage because it's
the only way to train.
Absolutely. badass. I liked seeing the fight. I liked seeing how they were, because I thought, oh man, who, you know, this would be good because they're both really good fighters in their own way. They have their own techniques and their own methods. And it was cool to see them going back and forth, you know, Johnny scoring a point, Daniel scoring a point, and going back and forth. And then when it ended and they both like kicked themselves or kicked each other or kicked the other, their opponent in the face at the exact same time. And they're like, trying to get
it's kind of a metaphor for their relationship.
Exactly. Right. Like, oh my god. I mean, it just kind of sums it up right there. And then of course not being able to figure out who did it and who actually won. Well, we need it from a different angle. This is the only angle. It's like this is not like television where we do like an instant replay and get it from this angle. So it was really great to see, you know, those two kind of fighting again and seeing that tension kind of build again. Because I feel like we, you know, it was fun to kind of see them pair up. You know, I really, really wanted that from last season and kind of see them start to work together. But I feel like we can't have it for too long. So it kind of makes sense that this is kind of where it ended. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of frustrates me that Daniel just has the skewed perception of Johnny. And I know it's to like drive the plot and, you know, kind of make Johnny feel more pushed away with, you know, with Miguel and stuff. And, but, you know, when they were talking, one of the last episodes, when the Miyagi-Dos, kind of started the fight with the kids, at Cobra Kai and, you know, did the whole sprinkler prank, you know, when Johnny's like, you know, you poke the bear, what do you think they'll do? You know, and Daniel's like, well, hey, you know, what did you want him to do? Fight there at the drive-in and telling him that Miguel showed restraint. And he totally blew right past Johnny's point because Johnny never suggested that they should fight. He was simply saying that they shouldn't have done anything, you know, not taking them out to the baseball field
I'm
to
not
antagonize
sure about
them.
That.
I don't
he
know.
He wants to go fight Terry Silver in this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think in that moment, though, he was just saying you shouldn't have done anything. You shouldn't have, like, poke the bear. So I don't know. It frustrates me that Daniel gets so stuck seeing Johnny one way that even when Johnny speaks, Daniel never hears what he's saying. So I don't know.
He did have Samantha jump across a 10-foot gap between two buildings recently.
That's true. His training regime is kind of strange.
I'm not saying he's perfect.
Now they're working in a mold-infested abandoned factory.
Next to the burned-out Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah.
It seems like they reached out and they tried each other's ways, but when things got tough, they both retreated back.
Yeah,
you know, and...
yeah. It's a bummer. It was a bummer to see Cobra Kai working so well. Like they're becoming this well-oiled machine, and they've got Terry's money funneling new equipment, and they're training and they're learning Miyagi-Do and learning all these new techniques. They're gaining, you know, new members. And here's, you know, Johnny and Daniel, like both of their dojos just in shambles and like trying to figure out, you know, it's just a bummer.
Yeah, and Terry Silver, when he was doing his training, he said, there's three elements. What was it? Desire, devotion, and discipline. And I can give you, I can't give you those first two, but I can give you the last one. And I'm like, wow, this sounds like a good, and they're like really powerful about it. And I'm like, yeah, he's fused everything together and he's an effective trainer. And meanwhile, I mean, I think Johnny's a disaster, to be honest, but I think Daniel is just having them meditate a lot, and I'm like, you need to be a little more aggressive too. So yeah, nobody's perfect there.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I keep thinking, it's like, how is this all going to play out at the tournament, man? I can't wait to see it.
I feel like Cobra Kai might win, but then Johnny and Daniel would have to go out of business, so maybe there'll be a surprise and Eagle Fang would win. I just think that eventually Johnny's going to retake Cobra Kai somehow. I feel like that's
that would seem fitting, huh?
Yeah.
Because you're pulling for him to change Cobra Kai's ways, but how can he if he's not there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy, I don't know. Awesome. Yeah, that fight was awesome, dude. Mm-hmm. Those guys do not look like they're pushing 60 years old. They were really going for
good.
It.
Yeah.
They were doing shoulder high kicks and they were moving fast. They had the awesome music. It was really dramatic. I like too that they drew from Daniel's past. Was it the second film where he did that punch and it like numbed Johnny's arm?
Oh,
and he couldn't move it for a few seconds there, and he was like, "What the hell, dude?"
That was from last season of Cobra Kai. So,
oh, that was in the actual
Chosen
series,
taught Daniel.
So was that was that fighting dirty? You think?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so.
A little bit.
I know Johnny's like, oh, you got any more dirty tricks? And Daniel's like, I don't fight dirty, you do. And I'm like, good comeback, dude. I mean, can't you see yourself clearly sometimes? So I know Rima. Daniel's definitely got his drawbacks.
Yeah. But even after he numbed his arm, Johnny did an awesome takedown.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you lose a point to a one-armed man? I mean, come on.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Johnny's tough.
Johnny's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Not the greatest teacher, but he's that good.
Yeah, that was a freaking amazing fight. Is that everybody's points?
Was that your?
I think it is, right?
Number one there, Rich.
Was that your last one?
Oh, Rich? I have one more. Yeah, no, I have one more.
Oh, go for it.
It was the change in the rules. Oh, yeah. That was good. I think that's going to be cool, right? Okay, so you guys will have to walk me through what kata is. What's kata? Because now they're adding kata into the tournament.
Kata is just a form that you do on your own. And that's what,
Daniel was teaching the Miyagi-Do, right?
It's from Karate Kid 3, right? Mm-hmm. That was the big thing in Karate Kid 3. Yeah. He was learning kata.
That was what he did to focus to beat Mike Barnes. And he was doing that in this episode 2 in his match with Johnny when he started moving his arms and stuff like that. And I think that was a reference to Karate Kid 3 because he just needed one more point to win in Cobra Kai here.
Right.
And he also just needed one point in Karate Kid 3. So he was like, let me focus, but it didn't work because Johnny got the next point.
Yeah. I kind of made that assumption because Johnny said, well, that's just dancing.
I think they would
I mean, that's what Nico does in Kung Fu when they have competitions. They just do a form and then they judge them on their form.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. I think that's a plus for Miyagi-Do, right? And then skills competition, which would include board breaking and weapons display.
Eagle Fang.
Probably a plus for maybe...
Well, that was my question. Is kata part of the skills competition? I couldn't determine it the way they were... You know, they listed the letter.
I think it's separate.
It's separate
from
skills, So
it's kata, skills... Yeah, because that was just
skills competition, and then
gender separation.
Yeah, and then now they have a female division, a girls division. They called it so there will be now two All Valley champs. Yeah, so I mean, I think that's a
Why
plus
do you
think
for Miyagi-Do.
Probably
the boys
a minus
and the
for Eagle Fang. Did what?
The reasoning behind it, they said, was because that they felt that they were starting to gain a little bit of female interest and they wanted to like bring more girls and females into it and kind of reach out to that demographic.
But I
it
mean was, for the story. Why did the writers write that into the story?
I'm wondering, is it possible there could be a three-way tie? Maybe. because there's because the way they said it, there could be a boys, girls, and then what did he say? A dojo
skills
overall dojo points winner. So is
total
that
points.
Possible? There could be a three-way tie.
Oh shoot! I think they did it because they wanted to have. There's two rivalries. There's maybe Robbie and Miguel, and then there's Tori and Sam. And they want to have those be like two pillars. Yeah.
Have two big pig showdowns.
Yeah. Because as soon as I heard it, I was thinking like, okay, well, yeah. Miyagi-Do would win the skills. And then I was trying to figure out who would win the boys and who would win the girls. And it's just, well, at that time, Eagle Fang didn't have a girl, so I didn't know how it was going to play out. But like I said, I haven't seen the rest, so I don't even know if Eagle Fang and Miyagi-Do get back together before the tournament. I don't know. It's gonna be crazy. I don't know.
Can't wait.
Well,
to
as far as driving the story, that's gonna be good for the story, right? Because now we got to introduce another female character. Because they got Tori, they got Sam, and now Johnny's gonna have whoever the debate team leader was.
I say bring on.
And
the
on top
girls.
Of that, at the council meeting in the beginning of the show, they were like, "You're promoting boys hitting girls? Do you think that's going to be really the kind of image you want us to have, you know?"
They kept showing poor Aisha getting smacked.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure why they introduced that, but I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, it's
I just think
tournament.
It's about cuz this year there are several rivalries and it's so they don't want to make it about the
because
one person who overcomes but more about these separate rivalries, maybe. I don't know.
I think for the story, maybe it does have something to do with that because in co-ed and it's just kind of who you draw and, you know, as you're fighting up the ranks and who you draw in that next round. And so they want Tori and Sam to fight in the end and they want, I'm sure, Robbie and Miguel to fight at the end. So this is a way to make sure that the girls, you know, work their way up the ranks to the final match and the same for the boys. Otherwise, there's a chance they may not get to have that fight depending on where they fall into the ranks of fighting and who actually ends up. And they want the girls to fight it out. They want the boys to fight it out. And this is a way to make it happen, I think.
Right. How's the new girl going to get involved in all this? She's going to kick everybody's butt, huh?
With words.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But my guess is she'll make it really far, but not to the end.
Yeah.
Miguel will probably win the boys. I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch.
I don't know
the
who
tournament.
Will win.
I'm just looking forward to the tournament. That's all I'm looking
Miguel
forward to.
Miguel won. We've only seen one tournament, right, in the show? And Miguel.
Yes.
Did Miguel win?
Yeah, Miguel won.
Yeah, Miguel won.
Mm-hmm. So maybe Robbie
and then
will
he
win.
Got his back broke.
At what if Dimitri wins? And has this beautiful black girlfriend.
Man, that was a great kick.
He's
he did.
A Rudy.
I'm so proud of Dimitri, how far he's come. When he was in there with Daniel.
All his geeks.
I mean, you know, he did good.
Yeah, he was showing some moves.
He was. He's come a
sparring
long way.
With him, yeah. It's cool. All right. I'm going to do the whole callbacks and references. I love Daniel and Johnny at the bar, and Daniel's just finished telling him who Terry Silver is and probably basically the whole plot of Karate Kid 3. And so we hear him saying, "So that's when Mr. Miyagi agreed to take me back. And after I beat Barnes, I never saw Silver again until today." And Johnny goes, "So let me get this straight. The year after our title fight, they put you straight up to the finals. That's bullshit."
That's all he heard out of the entire
that's
thing.
That's all he could.
That's his only takeaway.
Yeah. He didn't have to fight his way through. He just got to go straight to the finals.
And I know you guys have mentioned in other podcasts the way they kind of make fun of the third movie. You know, that's, I don't want to say make fun of, but just the way they point out all the problems with the third movie. That was one of them right there. I mean, that kind of sums it up.
Johnny often says the thing that we're thinking. And he says what I'm thinking,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that was total bullshit. Yeah. So
as much as I love that tournament,
you know, like,
and Daniel getting the crap kicked out of him, as much as I love that part of the tournament, I didn't love that he...
Then he throws money down and walks away from
the
bar. And you're like, the bartender's like, this is only $3.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But... like, you know, Johnny pointing out that was an illegal kick. Like, a lot, not me, but a lot of Karate Kid fans think the same thing. So he's good at that.
Yeah.
Dimitri asks Hawk if he's getting back together with Moon. And Hawk's like, she has a girlfriend, so, and Meacher's all like, you mean Piper? Oh, no, that's over. They broke up weeks ago. Weeks? 1 week? Five? How many weeks is week? So what's that from? Pop quiz.
Oh, that's from the first movie. Yeah, Daniel's talking to Allie in the cafeteria, mm-hmm. and she said that her and Johnny have been broken up for weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think he's flirting with her, and then he sees the Cobra Kai giving him a dirty look, mm-hmm. and he's like, yeah, I know. You're right. I know. And she's like, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, it's this little voice in my head that says I got to be nuts to be talking to you. And she goes, oh, it doesn't matter. It's over. How over is over? Oh, weeks. 1 week? 5 weeks? How many weeks is weeks? I felt like it was a little shoehorned in here with Hawk, because Daniel's saying that because he wants to know, like, I'm afraid that this bully is pissed off at me for dating his girlfriend. But maybe it's the same with Hawk. I don't know. But Hawk is just more like, maybe how far, is it really over or not?
Maybe he should be a little scared of her. She looked pretty intense.
That's true.
His ex-girlfriend, Piper.
That's true.
She looked tough.
You kind of already mentioned this, Damien, but I totally think when Amanda was like, are there any Cobra Kai's from your past going to come destroy our lives? And he's like, no, well, I can't say that for sure, that he was thinking of Mike Barnes.
Right.
It's either him or Dutch. That's all that's left, right? That's all we haven't seen.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe there's ones that we never saw. I don't know. The whole fight scene was pretty much the biggest callback ever in the series. And again, Johnny starts it by saying something that I've thought about, that Daniel was lucky to beat Johnny. And he beat him by 1 point, but that doesn't make him the better fighter, because clearly Johnny looked like a way better fighter than Daniel in Karate Kid. And so Johnny saying they never fought to the finish also reminds me of Rocky III, where Apollo Creed wants a rematch at the end, because in Rocky II, he only barely beat him. And then they show them about ready to punch each other at the end. That's the end of Rocky III.
Yeah.
We don't get to find out.
I think
out.
They call on Rocky movies once every episode,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, lately they really have, which is cool. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Johnny's training montage shows his biased point of view of Daniel punching him in the beach. He doesn't mention that he started it. Or the deleted scene. Right? There's a scene of...
Oh, the pie scene?
Yeah, of Daniel smearing a blueberry pie on Johnny's shirt and then plowing headfirst into him. That's a scene that was deleted from Karate Kid, if you don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's all on YouTube. There's another scene, too, where I love Johnny in this show. Rich, I agree. These episodes, Johnny really made them. But in these deleted scenes, he's a total piece of shit. Like, Daniel's trying to calm him down. Like, hey, maybe we don't even need to do this. Why do you want to fight so much? And he's like, shoving this permission slip in his face to sign up for the tournament. And I think they took that, since it was deleted, and made it like the major plot point of Karate Kid 3. But anyway, they also show Johnny stick pie under Daniel's seat. So Daniel repays him by smearing it on his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, during his montage, he thinks about the crane kick at the end of Karate Kid. And then some scenes like this. The show has a rich enough history now that the writers can take their habit of referencing the movies and reference the show. So they're referencing when in season one, Daniel and Johnny first met at LaRusso Audio, and he goes, I kicked his face, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. That workout routine was hilarious, because every time he had a flashback like that, he would do whatever, he would do it right there in his training routine. Like, he kicked a mailbox off its post after Daniel punched him in the face. And there's this lady in the background just being like, what are you doing? He knocked a ball out of a beachgoer's hands. And the guy was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
he
that
knocks
makes sense,
a guy off his scooter and breaks it, and the guy's like, what are you doing?
Because the ball makes sense, because he saw Daniel flirting with Allie by bouncing the ball on his knee.
Oh, wow.
But what was the scooter? Was that in reference to something?
I don't know if it was a reference or anything. Maybe the motorcycles. But he just, he just came up behind him and like threw him off the scooter and then broke it in half or something.
So then there are a bunch of scenes we've seen from the series of Daniel and Johnny kind of fighting, and like when Daniel kicked in Johnny's door and all that stuff. or when they fought in the mechanic's garage. But I also, this isn't a callback, but I thought it was so funny to see. I guess it kind of is, because Johnny's out in the waves like we saw Daniel in Karate Kid, only he's punching and kicking the waves. He's not learning balance. He's fighting the ocean.
That guy's got some anger.
All right. So then Johnny is practicing the crane technique, and then he says to Miguel, I think I got a counter to LaRusso's bread and butter. Watch this. I make like I'm going to walk into it again. At last second, I slip under, shoulder check him in the balls, take him to the mat. Elbow, elbow, elbow. Point Lawrence, winner. That was freaking awesome. And let's see. Then Daniel has his montage, which is Johnny kicking him at the beach in Karate Kid, or in the skeleton costume, beating the shit out of him, putting the pie under his seat that we saw Daniel hit or smear on Johnny. A few other fights from this series that they've had. And then I like that also in there was that time at the street fair where Cobra Kai did like a laser show and Johnny punched through those bricks. Daniel just hated that. And then the fight itself, they were both in their like same tournament uniforms, right? From Karate Kid.
Yeah. Well, same colors.
Same colors. After the
same colors. Thing, yeah. I guess Johnny didn't have the classic Cobra Kai.
No, he had the Eagle Fang. He had the Eagle logo on his back.
He had Eagle Fang. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. I loved when they faced each other and were told to bow. They both bowed. Because, like, Mike Barnes never bowed to Daniel, I don't think, but Johnny and Daniel do immediately, which I think it's a little gesture, but it says something about how their respect for each other has changed. Then, yeah, I mentioned he did the kata thing from Karate Kid 3, did the arm-numbing thing that we saw from last season from Chozen. And as I was watching the tournament, I'm like, man, this is so cool. Not the tournament, but the match. I don't know who to root for. Actually, I'm kind of hoping it could be a tie, and then it happened.
And then it was a tie.
But
wow.
What did you guys? Were you hoping Johnny would win? Or
I had the feeling I knew Hawk was going to show up after what happened with Hawk. I thought he was going to show up before they even started fighting, and then they started fighting. I was like, well, nobody's going to win, so something's going to happen. I didn't think a tie. I just thought Hawk would show up maybe when it was 2-2 or something like that, and they'd never get the last point. But I didn't expect them to basically knock each other down and have essentially a tie for the last point.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping, I guess if I had to choose, I would have said Johnny, because he's such a broken man over that one stupid kick. You know, maybe if he won, he'd have a little redemption, and then maybe he could team back up with Daniel, and then he'd not, you know, not be have all this hatred so much inside of him. I knew it. I knew I could do it.
I better.
Alas, nope. Now they'll never know. Now they're both going to still dwell on it.
I know. What about you, Rima? Were you thinking anything or hoping?
No, I just like watching the action. I try not to have too many expectations or, you know, want to see one particular outcome. I just like seeing it. I just like the action. I'm kind of shallow that way.
Like, you, well, usually, no, that's cool. Usually, I like in a fight like this, I want there to be a winner. Like in Godzilla versus Kong, I was glad there was a winner there, even though not everyone was happy with who it was, or even Freddy versus Jason. But here, I really did kind of hope it was a tie, and I feel like that really says something about this show, because I would never would have believed that before the show came on that I would hope a fight between those two would be a tie, you know? Sounds cool. But if somebody had to win, I'd want it to be Daniel, because Johnny instigated the fight. But
true.
Moving on. Daniel says to Samantha, your mom told me about the party, you know, the birthday party. It seems you're doing the instigating. Samantha says, come on, compared to what Tori's done, that was nothing. But I thought, well, in season two, the line I keep coming back of hers that I really like is, everyone's got a sob story, but that doesn't give you a right to be a bully. She's not living up to that anymore. That was even about Tori that she was talking about, but now she's being a bully.
No, she's not living up to the Miyagi-Do way either.
Yeah. She's full Cobra Kai. Little thing. Samantha flipping the bottle cap, of course, comes from Johnny and just really shows she's picking. She's like, I think for myself, right. And then does the thing that Johnny always does.
I like it. But, it shows her the influence he's had over her.
Yeah, influence. Yeah. And William Zabka did a great little quick YouTube tutorial on how to do that, which I posted on our Facebook page if you're curious. It's pretty cool.
Wow. It's a legit skill, huh?
I got to try it, yeah. Johnny trolling the high school for recruits at soccer practice is hilarious.
He learned feminism.
Yeah.
He's like,
memorized it at least.
What did he say? He's like, teen girls wanted, got to be under 18 or it's a no-go.
Dude, so wrong.
But
right,
it kind of reminded me of Allie, you know, and Daniel at soccer practice, and then the Cobra Kai trip Daniel and he punches Bobby. I think that's why they do soccer, because it reminds us of that scene with it's a cruel summer playing in the background.
And then later on, Moon says, there's some perv was creeping around on the track team, so we're going to go practice inside.
They don't even realize it's them.
Right.
I love the scene with Daniel and Terry in the convenience store, and Daniel says, you're a con man manipulating people to turn them into something they're not. He says, I didn't turn you anything, Danny boy. I brought out was already inside. That's bullshit. You tortured me. Please, you're a hothead. All I had to do was wind you up and get out of the way. And if you're being honest with yourself, you know you liked it. You were powerful, free. You just don't want to admit there's always been a little Cobra Kai in you. And I think there's definitely some truth to that. And I'm just realizing this right now. I think that's another way that Karate Kid 3 has really influenced this series, because I rewatched Karate Kid 3 again recently to get ready for season 4 of Cobra Kai. And I actually took an edible beforehand just to see how it would influence how I saw it. Yeah. And, you know, now that we've heard that Terry Silver was on coke, it's funny because when I was watching it, I felt like it seemed like Daniel's on coke, because he's
really?
Moving around and just erratic. Really aggressive. And yeah, he's like, can't sit still. I'm like, God, you're making me nervous, dude. And he was not like that in Karate Kid. I think it might be in part because Ralph Macchio didn't want to do that movie, really. He didn't like it, you know? But anyway, Daniel is kind of just like angry in this series sometimes, or self-righteous and everything. And I think he had maybe elements of that in the first one, but really in 3... I cannot argue. He's a total hothead in 3. So I feel like maybe even though they didn't reference Karate Kid 3 a lot in like the first season of Cobra Kai, a little, but not a lot, I feel like that part of his character they did bring into it.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that too, but that's also what I think scares Daniel. Because he said earlier to Sam that Terry was the one who lured him into Cobra Kai, right? When he was young,
yeah,
but only through the teachings of Miyagi, he was able to snap out of it. So I think he thinks it's a psychological thing too that Terry does.
Yeah,
in addition to,
and I think maybe there's truth to all of that.
It's a brainwashing, right? That
like if you have a teacher who can steer you towards your worst tendencies, whose fault is that? Yours for having the tendencies, or the teacher for steering you towards it? It's kind of both, you know. I think
the blame me once, blame me twice thing. I guess.
No bad student, only bad teacher.
Only bad teacher. Sam not going for Tori's story at the end there. You know, I don't know what you're up to, but I'm not falling for it. Is kind of like Daniel not falling for Terry's story.
I'm not so sure Tori. Yeah, I don't know about Tori either.
She's in a desperate place, so.
Do you think she's being legit?
I think she is.
I think she is just
she
only...
can't control herself.
I would say she's just having to... Because she's trying to get back in school because she knows, like, she's being threatened by her aunt. And she's trying to get herself back in a good place. But I think she is absolutely fuming under the surface, you know, the way Sam confronted her.
She went to the tattoo parlor with Robbie and sliced Hawk's mohawk off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's still herself. Episodes, she's just playing nice while she's at school. She's playing by the rules while she's there.
She's trying to do what she can to survive, but she can't control her anger and thirst for vengeance either. Which we didn't talk about that scene, but it was kind of heartbreaking to see Hawk kind of go back to his season one pre-Mohawk self a little bit there.
Yeah, down on himself.
I liked it. I didn't like Hawk. I thought he was.
I didn't like him either.
I like Hawk this season.
I like him this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd agree
he's
with that.
Well, now he's turned back to the light side. Yeah.
I don't want to see him humiliated.
No.
All right, that's all I got. Let's get into any notes. Do you have any other random notes or anything, Damien?
Well, you touched upon it. I just had no more Hawk. You know, Eli is back, but he has skills. I know we didn't talk about actually the bonding between him and Dimitri again. I think that was in episode 6. How Dimitri came over, Hawk Eli was kind of feeling down and everything, feel like he didn't have a place to be. He lost his Mohawk, so he lost his himself, basically, whoever he was. He felt left out. You know, he knew he's been an asshole last whatever year and everything. So I thought that was pretty cool that Dimitri came over and hung out with him, showed him the whole Binary Brothers videos that he still had. That was pretty funny. But so that was
That was pretty cool, actually.
It was. I liked Dimitri so much.
It was fun.
Ever since like the first episode, I've liked Dimitri so much. So that was really nice that that he did that. Even Hawk broke his fucking arm. So
if my son made a video like that, I'd think it was rad.
Right. But no, that was really cool.
Had kittens with laser beams. Come on.
So I know. Let's see. Rima talked about Daniel and Johnny fighting. I mean, anytime they fight, on this show, which has been a couple times, it gives me chills. I know Daniel actually, what Johnny said, if we fight 10 times, I'll beat you out of 9. And Daniel said, we have fought 10 times, so I guess they fought a lot on the series. I can't remember. I know there's some montage. They had a couple, but. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But anytime they do it, I get
chills.
It's
hard to keep
it all
straight.
Especially the whole when they got in their gis and they got on the sparring mat. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing that we didn't really talk about, I guess I talk about the fake outs a little bit. I was when Johnny and Daniel actually decided that they were going to go their separate ways with their dojos. I actually thought for a second that Sam was going to go with Johnny. And Miguel was going to stay put because they actually made it look like Miguel was actually kind of holding back a little bit. I guess it was more so Miguel was going to stay than Sam was going to go. Cause I don't think we had some more scenes with Sam rebelling a little bit and definitely siding with Johnny's side a little bit after that. But, I guess that was the only thing, the only other notes I had. We kind of talked about everything else. That's all I had to offer.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Awesome.
Rima?
One thing that I thought was interesting was seeing Ralph Macchio and Thomas Ian Griffith stand next to each other and knowing that Ralph Macchio is actually older than Thomas Ian Griffith. It's like this.
Yeah, I know. That's
this
weird,
dude drinks from the spring water that Paul Rudd, I think, drinks from. So
ageless.
Yeah. So, but it's just kind of interesting. I think we've talked about that before with Karate Kid 3, knowing that Thomas Ian Griffith is actually younger than him in real life, but supposed to be playing someone like 20 years older or whatever.
In Karate Kid 3, it's striking because Terry Silver just looks like this human in top form. And Daniel's just this little scrawny kid. Well, he's a little pudgy actually in Karate Kid 3.
Yeah,
but here it's more like, oh, Daniel's aged fairly well for how old he is. He's aged very well. And then Terry Silver just looks kind of old.
But he's still got
good,
the
though.
Moves though. The dude is
yeah,
still got
he does.
His moves.
Absolutely.
He's in great shape. He might be a little older, but he's still got it for sure.
He looks good.
Yeah, he looks really good. And then the only other note that we hadn't talked about already was the Hoist Gracie reference, which...
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome. I'm a huge Hoist Gracie fan. And for anyone that doesn't know who Hoist Gracie is, he's a Brazilian semi-retired professional mixed martial artist. He's a UFC Hall of Famer. He's a practicer of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And a member of the Gracie family. There's a lot of the Gracies out there, and they all have the Gracie schools teaching Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. He gained his fame for success in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Between 93 and 94, he was the tournament winner of UFC 1, 2, and 4. He popularized Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, which is also known as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's just one of my favorite MMA fighters, so really cool to...
What was the reference again? I forget.
Hoist Gracie. That was when...
What'd they say in the show?
Oh, gosh. Who was it at the car dealership?
Is his name Noosh or Nanoosh or something? Louis and
Noosh
or whatever they call
him. Yeah, I think mentioned him.
His cousins.
Mentioned him.
He said Johnny was like Hoist Gracie and I was like me.
Yeah.
Then the other guy's like, I had a baseball bat. He still kicked my butt.
Yeah, so, it was cool to hear that reference. I was like, well, I'm proud that you know who Hoist Gracie is. And it was good to hear his name mentioned because he's one of my absolute favorite MMA fighters.
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't know that much about Hoist Gracie, but I remember watching the first two UFCs and he was like, what is this guy doing? How do you choke somebody out upside down?
I was going to say, he definitely brought a different fighting style. And it was interesting because his opponents didn't quite know what to do with him. They didn't know how to counter him at all. And then once he got you down on the ground, you were done. You were tapping out, whether it was 5 minutes or 20 minutes. Wow. Yeah, once he had you on the ground, it was over. He'd get someone on the ground and he'd be on his back and he'd have someone in a hold and he would just sit there and continuously kick their kidneys with the heel of his foot and he would just do it continuously. And it didn't look like they were really hard. Like, that's how he won one of them. It was just like this constant kick. And it looked like a
torture.
Tap.
Yeah. I remember that. I don't know. Was it in the 80s that UFC started?
90s.
Or the 90s. And
early
it was
90s,
Ultimate Fighting Championship. I don't know how much people know about it. I don't know a whole lot. But I remember it was like this new thing because you could use any fighting style you want. It's in a cage.
Yeah.
There's just a couple rules, like no gouging the eyes.
There's only like one or two rules.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Not
you
a lot
even
of rules.
Do groin shots.
And there's, I don't think there's a time limit, right? You just tap out, or if someone goes unconscious, that's how the two ways.
Or you get knocked out,
knock
exactly,
out.
That's what I said, yeah. So then you wonder, okay, what kind of fighting is going to win? Is it going to be karate? Is it going to be kung fu? No, it's basically wrestling.
That was what was so fascinating.
Yeah.
I remember one win Royce had where the conventional wisdom is if you're on top and you have the dude down on the ground and you're doing the ground and pound, you're going to win, right? There was one where this guy was on top of Royce and he somehow managed to choke the dude out with his own gi.
Yeah.
With his feet.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's amazing.
I was like, holy
cow. He's the most
flexible
dude I've ever seen. The things he could do. And he was in for the long game, man. So he's just so much fun to watch. I YouTube his matches all the time. It's fun to watch. Yeah. But that's all that I had. So.
Oh, we pretty much nailed it, man. The only note I have here that we didn't talk about was when Sam walks in on Tori and her mom. I was like, oh boy, here comes the fireworks. It was like a scene right out of Days of Our Lives. Everyone kind of looked around at each other, and then the music started, and then he cut to the next scene. I was like, wow, that really is like a soap opera. I think Jason said that earlier.
Yep. Said it a couple
She's
times.
She's like, what is she doing here?
Yeah.
And the parent.
Everybody's doing the little eye thing.
The parent inside me is going, defuse the situation, Mom. Defuse the situation.
Yeah. Come on.
We're only missing the soap opera.
But I did like how... When she showed up, Amanda's like, well, you know your way, right? You know, just like, because you busted in here before.
That was a little bit too much of a dig for me, I think.
Everybody's a smart ass.
Hey, she trashed their house.
Yeah.
Not soon forgetting.
Okay. I thought there were so many funny lines in this one, but I wanted to keep it short because there's four of us, so I didn't write them all down, but there's just a couple. When Dimitri was talking about Robbie, but he didn't want to say his name. He's like, you know, he who shall not be named rhymes with Dobby. I like that. It's clever because he's talking about a Harry Potter reference.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But then it's Dobby instead of Voldemort. Then let's see. Johnny was talking about why are they separating the boys from the girls? Come on, they got to man up and take a punch like the rest of us. I love the Binary Brothers thing. I mean, all the stuff Johnny said was very wrong, but also really funny. And then I just love the board meeting. We didn't talk about that, but the last time we saw them in season one, when Johnny went, or I think it was the last time when he went to them to get Cobra Kai reinstated to the All Valley Karate Tournament. They were all proper and everything and buttoned down, but here they're just like totally arguing and insulting each other and everything.
So there's another reference
married three
to
times, George.
Yeah, there's another reference to the mats.
Yeah, the colors
switching
of the
to
mats.
The blue mats.
It's the most important thing.
This is why we were successful.
That was the best gavel, line of the whole thing.
The guy with the gavel.
The George comment, Rima. That was the best one. I've said that about somebody too.
Something about what? No wonder you've been married three times, George, or something. Yeah. When he was making snarky remark about having girls in the tournament, he's like, "Well, we're going to be in the baking competition." I would have punched the guy in the throat for that.
Right, come on. A couple more comments. In the second episode, I just felt that we watched this time. I thought it was really good to see Miguel in Johnny's corner again. You know, I like them as a pair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good. And I wish Daniel would use the drum technique again sometime just to reference that. And maybe we can get a clear idea of what exactly was going on there.
Mm.
And then the last thing, I've talked about how this show is about parents and surrogate parents. You know, it's pretty obvious. And it's on all sides, from Miyagi-Do, Eagle Fang, Cobra Kai, Amanda with Tori. Everywhere it's about surrogate parents and influence and stuff. And it made me think about how parenting is, where as adults we have flaws and none of us are perfect parents, and our own neurosis and egos and weak points and whatever else get in our way and kind of pass on to our kids. As much as we try to be good, we can't help but pass some of those things on to our kids. And so it has been for parents going back all through time. And I just think this show shows that really well. And everyone has good intentions, even Kreese and especially seems like Terry Silver, but their flaws just get in the way, just like with all of us. So starting to think about that, I just think, man, I hope actually in the end that everybody on the show, even Kreese, finds some peace. You know, I mean, we need the conflict until this series finale, but at the end, I kind of hope everybody's in a good place and nobody is, you know, in a down position, I guess.
As long as it's the very last episode.
Yeah.
Until then, we need some good drama.
Yeah, we need people kicking each other's ass. All right, that was really good. Thanks, you guys. Let's take a quick break, but there is more to come. Stay with us. Okay, we're back. It's time for some listener feedback. What do you got, Damien?
Okay, starting off with Alma Contreras. OMG. I believe that's supposed to be fucking. OMG, fucking Johnny cracks me up. His ultra 80s male mentality makes me ugly cackle. I'm surprised he didn't get punched in the face when trying to recruit girls. I don't know about y'all, but I'm really enjoying Dimitri's character. I hope he starts picking up his karate skills, because I would love to see him kick some butt in the tournament. I'm liking Hawk's redemption storyline too. Looking forward to the podcast. I enjoy Dimitri's character as well. I think I just said that. Yeah.
Remember when we all used to think he was annoying?
Yeah,
I think I kind of was annoying a little bit, but I liked him since day one. I think.
He's come a long way.
Yeah. Janet Seidel says, I have only watched Matchpoint, but it was awesome. The Johnny pre-fight montage was ridiculous, but so hilarious. I actually laughed out loud when they took each other out for the third point. Cobra Kai is yucky.
Dobolino Bob Grippy says, I love the part where the dad asks Johnny, which one was his? Johnny comes across as a total creepo.
What did he say? He's like, I'm trying for that one, but...
Yeah, I'm looking at that one, but...
Yeah.
Working on my approach.
What do you suggest as an approach?
Working on my approach.
The guy just walks off. Demo Hall says, Johnny training to fight was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'm laughing so much. It's funny they both landed on the floor at the same time. People like that.
Yep.
That was good.
We got a few calls. Here's Mike Caruso.
Hey, guys. Mike from Cincinnati again. And I'm still really intrigued by what they're doing with Terry here. You know, like, you expect Terry to come in, make the beast a two-headed beast, make Cobra Kai stronger. But at first, you know, Kreese and Silver aren't on the same page. And they have this dinner meeting. And I think the show was trying to tell us that Kreese is cool. He's going to follow Silver's lead now, or let Silver do his thing. But I don't know. I kind of feel like Kreese isn't still fully on board. It looks like to me that he's still giving him some side eye, and I could see something happening there. I'm not, you know, totally sure where they're going to go with that, but I think it's really interesting. It's not what you expected it to be, subverting those expectations again. The other thing I really like is I like Amanda and Tori. I just think that's really neat. I like Amanda as a character. She's obviously awesome for Daniel, but I think it's cool that they're gonna, that she's kind of getting more involved with one of the kids' lives, you know, because I feel like Daniel and Johnny have been the two characters mainly interacting with the kids and stuff, and you know, it'll be cool to see Amanda come into the fold a little bit, you know, maybe next season she'll start doing some karate. No, I'm kidding, but yeah, I like that dynamic, that pairing there. I wasn't expecting it, and I think it's pretty cool. So yeah, let me know what you guys think about Silver and Kreese. If you think Kreese is still not totally 100% cool with Terry Silver's game plan there. Excited to hear what you guys have to say, and go Bengals!
They won today. They did go.
Thanks, Mike. I didn't even consider that Kreese wasn't being sincere there, but now that you mention it, I am now.
Everybody looks at Silver with the side
eye.
Yeah,
guess he's not.
And
sure.
Kreese is—he's a snake, so who knows?
Yep.
All right, let's play Greg Schwamm.
Hello, House Podcastica. This is Greg calling about Cobra Kai episode 5, Match Point, and episode 6, Chicks Dig Kicks. I think that's what it was called. So the Match Point, I thought that the classic double knockout, I kind of expected it a little bit, but I was curious how they would pull it off. I thought it was pretty entertaining. Then Chicks Dig Kicks. I'm assuming that's saying, you know, obviously kicks, but also all of the new gear and the new kicks. I don't know if they're shoes, but like designer gear for new students and all that. I thought that was an interesting allegory. What I noticed from these episodes is that, like, seriously, just hug it out, bitch, right? Let's channel Ari Gold and just hug it out. It's, if Sam just, you know what? Hey, I learned from Aisha. I'm just going to give Tori a hug when she shows up. I'm going to say, hey, we're not going to be besties, but, you know, hey, we'll stay out of each other's way. And everybody else can forgive this girl. Daniel, I get it. Terry Silver tortured you extensively 35 years ago. Come on. Just give him a hug. You know, you want to flip the script? Give people hugs. Don't just try to whoop their ass. Don't challenge them to ridiculous shit. Just everybody hug it out, bitch.
Hug it out.
All right, look forward to the coverage. Bye.
I hope you never get a job as a writer on Cobra Kai, Greg.
It would be the hugging show.
I think in real life that's beautiful, though. Thank you.
Agreed. Works for real life.
Okay, here's Jonathan Buccolo.
I don't know what it is with this series, but every time I think it can't surprise me, it does. Who knew we were going to get a Johnny training montage? And it was awesome. Kicking post boxes, knocking over strangers on their scooters, bald eagles, and my favorite, punching and kicking waves. All very Rocky III. But it was Sam's visit with Aisha that was the real surprise for me. Her support and appreciation of Johnny was very touching, and I hope that Sam learns something from this and leaves her evil ways behind. And one last thing. Is Miguel entering his Elvis in Vegas stage?
I don't get it.
I think it might be chubby? About the haircut, and he's getting a little chubby.
Well,
chubby.
He's like,
yeah.
What, no, he's just getting
like,
bigger.
24 or 25 now, right?
He's filling in. I mean, He oiled up. He looked good.
Show me the beach
ball. He did look pretty good.
Show me the beach ball.
He did.
Show me the beach ball.
Yeah. That's a great voice.
Jonathan's going to be on Boba Fett with us next week.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, cool. That's exciting. Oh,
cool. Nice. It's, Please tell me he does audiobooks, though.
I was going to say, his voice and his accent is so great. He brought a level of sophistication to talking about Cobra Kai that the show is missing.
That's heretofore lacked. All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, Damien. Hope you had fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope I didn't bring you all down. It was a good
thing. Not at all.
You guys are awesome. I love you all.
Not too bad. It was pretty good.
Thanks. No,
it's all right.
You guys are awesome. I love listening to you. I look forward to the rest of the season.
I mean, I'm looking forward. I don't know if it's all right for me to say this, but Damien asked me to come talk beyond Washington in the 80s. Can I say what?
Absolutely, because I have to talk to you about that. So, yeah, you can talk about it.
Okay, so he asked me, he's kind of put aside one of my favorite 80s movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So
I'm stoked.
I haven't even ever talked about that on a podcast, so I'm very much looking forward to that. How do people find that, by the way? The podcast, I mean. We haven't recorded.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can just go to watchitinthe80spodcast.com, and that'll just show you, cool. All my listings. I'm pretty much everywhere. You know, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find me.
Awesome.
All right. If you want to write in and record a message and send it to us, you can email us at talk@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/podcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Today, I listened to Paik and Rima's 3-hour podcast on the Dexter finale on Strange Indeed, which had a bit of a different tone than the Cobra Kai. It was, I don't want to spoil that, but if you saw that, you should go check out the podcast, Strange Indeed, for sure. He really gave the series its due.
Thank you. That's really high praise. Nice. Appreciate that.
Tomorrow on House Podcastica, we're recording the Yellow Jacket season finale. Insane finale. Oh my God, that show. And then, yeah, I just want to mention again, be sure to check out Watched It in the 80s podcast with Damien talking about all kinds of great 80s movies. People listening, watching Cobra Kai, you might be particularly interested in that. Mm-hmm. Next on this podcast, next for Cobra Kai is season 4, episodes 7 and 8, Minefields and Party Time.
Going into the back half.
Party time. Party time before a tournament? What? Must be Johnny.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
I'm coming for you, bitch.
Yikes.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.